Hello, you're listening to Romeo And, a podcast about masculinities, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. Holidays, everybody. I hope you're having a very merry holiday season. Many of you are spending the holidays with family, friends, and other loved ones, and celebrating the final days of 2015. I am myself in Florida right now, staying with my parents down here. Although I do recognize that a lot of you are not necessarily spending the holidays with friends and family and loved ones. And many of us don't actually celebrate during the holiday season. And it might be because we don't practice a religion that has a holiday this time of year. Or it might be that we're estranged from our families. Or maybe we don't have any family left to visit with. Or maybe we're living far away from those we love for some reason or another. It's great that more and more people are recognizing how the holiday season is not necessarily filled with joy for all of us. In fact, those who suffer from depression often find this time of year especially trying. Even if you're not necessarily depressed, the fact that there is so much emphasis on joy and feeling joyful during this time can often make things especially difficult if, for whatever reason, you're not in such a joyous place. Because as much as I love the self-help and positive psychology movement, it can often cause the opposite effect. If everyone is telling you to be happy all the time, it can sometimes feel as though sadness and anger are inappropriate feelings to feel. Which, of course, is absolutely not the case. Sometimes it's good to be sad. Sometimes it's good to get upset or angry. You're not wrong for wanting to cry or lash out every once in a while. I think positive psychology works wonders for a lot of people, but not necessarily for everyone. And if you find that anger and sadness are what you're feeling right now, great. Well, I mean, not great, but I get it. I understand. I encourage you to continue feeling that, if that's what you need right now. Although, also know that there are others out there who care about you, some of whom you may not even know yet, and they all just want to see you in a happy place again. And though it's fine to get angry and upset sometimes, I caution you not to push away people who might be trying to cheer you up. You know, it might feel really annoying to you or bothersome, and, you know, where you are right now, it just might not be helping at all, and you might even resent them for trying to cheer you up. But remember that they do mean well. They're not out here trying to make you feel worse. And like we learned in Brené Brown's book, Rising Strong, we're all just trying to do the best we can. And that said, I don't want to end on a somber note, so let's remember that death, even though it's an extremely sad event, doesn't simply refer to the end of something. It also signals the beginning of something new, or a change in something otherwise familiar. With the end of 2015 brings the endless possibilities of the new year. Also, with the end of 2015 comes the end of the second season and the first full year of this podcast you're listening to, Romeo And. With the season finale of the show brings the opportunity to look back on this past year. It was actually this time last year I had the idea to start the show. And after taking 2 months to prepare, Romeo And officially came into being in February with my review of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the first episode. The audio quality was pretty rough, and so was the editing, but hey, you gotta start somewhere, right? And in season one, I tested the waters with just one episode every 2 weeks. And by the summer, I felt I was ready for the long haul. And so, starting in August, when season 2 began, we moved on to weekly episodes. And I covered topics from the superhero complex, to the nice guy syndrome, to trans rights, the Black Lives Matter movement, suicide, mental illness, and a hell of a lot of other issues. And now, with season 3 approaching, I'm ready to take things to the next level. As I've said on the show before, with the start of season 3, I want to start covering more diverse topics and bring in more diverse voices. I'm still going to be reviewing movies and sharing stories, but more everything, more stories, more movies, more everything. And I can't reveal too much just yet because there's still a lot more preparation that needs to be done, but with each season, I look to improve the show, so naturally, according to the law of threes, the next season has to be the best one, like, ever, right? But all that will come in time. Season 3 will officially begin on February 1st, 2016, so that means no more new episodes from now until then. I will miss you all, but I also need some time to rest. So, finally, to commemorate this fantastic season, the amazing seasons to come, as well as this joyous time of the year, I'm going to do one final movie review for 2015. A special bonus holiday movie review of the 1964 stop-motion classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So stay tuned for that, because it's coming up next here on Romeo and... So, I wasn't going to do another movie review this season. I was thinking about doing some other type of special something, but I had to refocus because, as we approached the holiday season, I remembered the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie that is immensely popular during the Christmas holiday. And I'm just going to go ahead and apologize in advance for the mic that I'm using right now. Like I said, I am currently here in Florida at my parents' house, so I don't have all of the equipment that I normally have, so I'm just kind of doing a little makeshift holiday episode for all of you guys. But the reason that I decided that I just had to do a review of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie is because it was one of the first movies that I've actually done a review of in the way that I do it on this show. Because it's one of those holiday tradition movies. You know, those family tradition things that people do every single year on the holidays because of, you know, family and tradition and stuff. Well, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is that with my family. We used to watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas every year, and, I mean, it's a great movie, it's a classic, but it got real stale after seeing it over and over again. Especially because, at the time, my brother and I were still just kids, and watching a movie in black and white was kinda lame. So, one year we decided to switch things up. And it actually happened that my stepdad found a VHS of the Rudolph movie, and he bought it straight away because of nostalgia. He and my mom used to both watch the movie as kids every year because it was the only thing that they played on TV. And they told us how if they missed the movie when it came on that year, they were basically out of luck. You know, because there was no Netflix or TiVo or even VHS back in the day. So if you missed Rudolph, you basically missed Christmas. And so the whole family got together and watched this movie. And all the while we were thinking to ourselves, what the hell are we watching? I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic movie, another classic, but we would hit moments in it when we were reminded, oh yeah, this movie is really old. And eventually, my whole family spent the next hour commenting on how racist and sexist Santa Claus is and how terrible some of the movie's messages are. And we had a wonderful time. So much so that we made it our yearly tradition to watch the racist Rudolph movie, as we endearingly called it, every year. And now, today, I've decided to share some of that magic with all of you. You know, because Christmas. The whole purpose of the movie is actually pretty progressive. It's about a child who gets outcast for his abnormality, who then discovers that being different from others is not necessarily a handicap, but a source of pride. It's a radical, subversive, liberal message that's just as relevant today as it ever was. Because as long as humans are human, they're going to find people to alienate and discriminate against. That's just kind of our thing. That is, unless we're actively conscious of it and trying to be inclusive. I mean, just think about how progressive our forefathers were in America when they declared that all men are created equal. It was awesome, but when they said that, they were mainly referring to white European men. If you were Native American, African American, female, Asian, or even Irish, this law didn't necessarily apply to you. You know, because racism. And so, as progressive as the message of Rudolph is, the film still preaches some problematic ways of thinking. And also, just the way people talked about discrimination back then was just so different from how we look at it today. And so, I'm going to talk about the different ways we confront racism and discrimination now versus how we did it back then. And naturally, I'm also going to talk about the age-old problem of sexism and how it wasn't all that different then than it is now. I feel like if you haven't already seen this movie, you're probably not particularly worried about spoilers, considering that it's over 50 years old now. Hell, if you've heard the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you already know the plot to the whole film. But, you know, for those of you who care, I'm going to be talking about the plot of the movie. Although this is mainly just a reminder to anyone who wants to watch the movie before I start analyzing it that they had better go out and do it now. But in any case, you know, proceed with caution, spoilers, blah blah blah. So first, let's talk about racism. Well, not racism per se, I guess, but discrimination against redheads, or red noses, specifically. Like I said, the whole purpose of the movie is to call out discriminatory behavior and bullying and say, hey, that's not cool. But it's just funny how far we've come in terms of talking about these issues. When we first get into the story, we're introduced to Rudolph, our protagonist, and we see that he has a glowing red nose. Right away, we get a sense of how the universe handles these kinds of situations.
Nah, we'll call him Rudolph.
Rudolph is a lovely name. Rudolph.
Hey, he knows his name already.
Papa, Mama. He's got a shiny nose.
Shiny? I'd even say it glows.
Well, we'll simply have to overlook it.
Now how can you overlook that? His beak blinks like a blinkin' beacon.
His beak blinks like a blinkin' beacon. But not seconds after Rudolph is born, his very own parents express some concern about Rudolph's, as Sam the Magical Talking Snowman puts it, his nonconformity. His mother seems a bit understanding. You know, she says, we'll just have to overlook it, while Rudolph's father says that it just
Like, how are you going to overlook that? And then this other asshole walks in. Or, excuse me, Santa Claus walks in.
Well, hi there. Aren't you the sturdy little fellow?
Santa.
And smart, too. Great bouncing iceberg.
Now, I'm sure it'll stop as soon as he grows up, Santa.
Well, let's hope so if he wants to make the sleigh team someday.
Great bouncing icebergs, Batman. What the hell is that on his face? This is Santa Claus talking, people. Santa, who's supposed to be the most loving, caring, saintly man in any child's imagination. And what does he have to say about Rudolph's nonconformity? Let's just hope he grows out of that glowy nose nonsense, or there's no way in hell I'm putting him on my sleigh team. Really, Santa? Really? But in any case, Santa makes his opinion of non-black-nosed reindeer very clear, and so Donner, Rudolph's dad, decides that the plan is to hide Rudolph's nose.
No, Santa's right. He'll never make the sleigh team. Wait a minute. I've got it. We'll hide Rudolph's nose.
Hide it?
Yeah. Come here, boy.
You'll be a normal little buck just like everybody else, right? A chip off the old antlers.
Now, you'll get used to it.
He says, you'll be a normal little buck just like everybody else. And then he proceeds to put mud on his newborn son's face to cover his nose. Solid parenting right there. And naturally, this is a silly kids movie, so everything I say here should be taken with a grain of salt. In fact, I'm still laughing about the whole thing now. But part of why I'm laughing is because nowadays, this kind of thing would never fly on TV. Because we know how messed up it is to tell a kid that he should be ashamed of the way his body looks. And yet, we still do it to kids on a regular basis. Like I said, these things never really go away. We just find other things to shame people about. If it's not a red nose or red hair, then it's dark skin or a physical deformity or a mental disorder or their weight or the fact that the child has boobs. The only real difference between now and back then is that Rudolph's dad didn't have to feel ashamed of himself for coming right out and saying that he hated how his son looked, and that he wanted to disguise him so that he wouldn't embarrass the family. And so he fashions a false nose for his son to wear.
All right, son, try it on.
I don't wanna. Daddy, I don't like it.
You'll like it and wear it.
Oh, but Daddy... It's not very comfortable.
There are more important things than comfort. Self-respect.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Actually, this sounds a lot like a dad nowadays talking to his daughter about how she dresses. You're going to go outside wearing that? You know, because decent, respectable women cover themselves up respectably. A true lady would be embarrassed about her body. Moving on. So Rudolph goes out with his nose covered up and meets all the other neighborhood kids.
Hi, my name's Fireball. What's yours?
Rudolph.
Come on, you can be my buddy.
Apparently in Rudolph's little town, parents name their children things like Fireball. What are we, in Brooklyn or something? Anywho, eventually the other kids find out about Rudolph's nonconformity. And they just go at it. I mean, they just dig in. And that's not entirely unexpected. I mean, kids are cruel. They have no filter. So when they see someone or something that's out of the ordinary, they won't hesitate to point it out and say whatever the heck they feel about it.
Fireball, what's the matter?
Get away! Get away from me!
No. What's this nonsense here, Bucks? After all...
Hey, look at the beak.
Beak, buy us nose.
Rainbow paws, snake snap.
Stop calling me names.
well, boys will be boys, after all. But what really sets this movie apart from the ones we're used to seeing nowadays is how the adults react to all this.
All right, now, yearlings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
Yeah, see? No reindeer games for you, see? And just to clarify, that was Comet, Rudolph's fully grown adult coach, not only agreeing with all the children that Rudolph is weird, but encouraging them to continue making fun of him. We won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right? Yeah, see? Alright, maybe this is just the filmmakers being lazy about following along with the story. After all, Rudolph, according to the song, is supposed to get made fun of, and he's supposed to be banned from the reindeer games. But in the song, the reindeer games was just a name for the games that reindeer children play with each other. In the movie, the reindeer games are essentially tryouts for being on Santa's sleigh team. So, in the song, it's just children being cruel. In the movie, this is an adult-sanctioned ban on physical deformity. Well, not deformity, but nonconformity. And speaking of Santa Claus, it's during this same scene that Santa delivers my favorite and arguably the most important line of the entire film. And just to clarify the context here, Rudolph was just outed for having a red nose, and all the kids just made fun of him, and as he's being just cut down, Santa turns to Rudolph's parents and says to his father,
"Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself."
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. Ashamed of yourself. Like, as in, how dare you give birth to this abomination of a son? How dare you? Like, what the fuck, Santa? And then Donner doesn't say shit to him either. First off, he just allows all the other children and his adult coach to just ream his son. And then when his boss joins in and tells him that he is a failure of a father for giving birth to this child, what does he do? He just hangs his head in shame. Basically accepting that, yes, I am a terrible parent for giving birth to a son with a red nose. Just savage. Now, my question is, is this just a silly, over-the-top children's movie, or is this actually how life was back in the day? I mean, let's think about it. This movie came out at exactly the same time as the civil rights movement was in full swing, and black Americans were being sprayed down with fire hoses in the street for just being born a certain color. So, you know, I guess it's not really that much of a long shot when you think about it. Santa Claus was just a big old racist asshole, but it's cool because that's just what rich, powerful white men were like back in the day.
Maurice?
Papa?
You get back to your cave this instant.
But I...
This instant, young lady.
Yes, sir.
Now there's one thing I want to make very plain. No doe of mine is going to be seen with a red-nosed reindeer.
No doe of mine is going to be seen with some nigger... red-nosed reindeer. And why don't we use that wonderful moment to go ahead and switch gears and talk about gender? What do we learn in all of this about masculinity? Well, right off the bat, we learn that a man's motivation in life is women. Rudolph's instant best friend, Fireball, before becoming his instant worst enemy, tells him that the reindeer games is the place to show off in front of the does.
Where are we going? To the reindeer games. Makes antlers grow. Besides, it's a great way to show off in front of the does. Come on!
A doe is a female deer, in case you aren't familiar with the term. Or if you're unfamiliar with music, or the sound that it makes. I'm sure somebody got that. Anyway, here we are at the reindeer games. The men show off and try to secure a place on Santa's sleigh team, and the women sit and watch, and, you know, look for strong bucks to hopefully marry. Again, this is just how things went back then. But we're in the 21st century now. Things are different. At least, they're supposed to be. Men don't need to protect and care for women, at least not like they did back then. They don't need to buff up and go out to war. But we're still playing these games, these reindeer games. It's all about competition, male competition. Hasn't really changed that much. We still insist that men go out and compete against each other, and have women sit, watch, and judge, and do so with the intention of selecting a mate. And if a woman refuses to pick out of the selection of men, if she refuses to pick a mate based on his strength and wealth of resources, well then it's fair game to tear her down just like they did Rudolph. At least, that's the impression that I get from the movies and TV shows that I watch. And so, Rudolph has to play the hero. He's gotta go out alone to protect his friends, he's gotta risk his life to save his girlfriend and his family, and actually so does his father. Like father, like son. And the second best moment of the film comes from yet another scene with Rudolph's father, Donner. I mean, he's probably my favorite character. But anyway, Rudolph has run away from home after being completely shit on by all of his peers and the community at large, and so Donner decides that he has to go out and find him.
Now, you can bet old Donner felt pretty bad about the way he had treated Rudolph, and he knew that the only thing to do was to go out and look for his little buck. Mrs. Donner wanted to go along, naturally, but Donner said, "No, this is man's work."
And then Mrs. Donner proceeds to cry her eyes out. And something else that's worth noting here, the married women don't actually need first names. They can just be addressed in relationship to their powerful husbands. Mrs. Donner, Mrs. Claus. So, you know, that's a thing. And then, after all of this is said and done, Rudolph and his family and his girlfriend are all rescued, and his new friend, Yukon Cornelius, sacrifices himself to take out the abominable snow monster, blah blah blah, plot point, and now it's time for all of them to head back home. But not because they're all tired and rattled from everything that's happened.
They are all very sad at the loss of their friend, but they realize that the best thing to do is to get the women back to Christmas Town.
Nope. They need to get the women back home. Those poor, scared, fragile women. Yeah. Alright, so what do we learn from all of this? That it's totally cool to have a deformity that everyone despises, so long as it comes in handy and can come in and save the day at a clutch moment. Everyone takes a crap on Rudolph until he's able to save Christmas by leading Santa's sleigh team during the blizzard. Not so funny anymore, huh, assholes? Moral of the story? Payback is sweet as hell. No, I'm kidding. There's not actually a whole lot that the movie can do in that sense. That is the moral of the actual Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song. The best form of payback is success. And to be fair, like I said, the movie is fairly progressive for its time. I mean, the women do go out and try to save Rudolph, even though they do get captured for doing so. But then, the men also get captured just the same. Rudolph thinks that he has to go out solo to save his girlfriend and be the hero, but it's actually his friends who come in and they have to rescue him from the abominable snow monster. Nice little switch up there. And just to leave you all with something nice and inspirational, I give you the words of King Moonracer, the Griffin King of the Island of Misfit Toys. When Rudolph and his friends say that they want to live on the island to escape the rejection from the haters back home, King Moonracer says that they can't, because unlike playthings, a living thing cannot hide himself on an island. That's right, friends. My request of you is to not run away from your problems and try to hide yourself away from the world. You are special and gifted and unique in your own way, and some people might give you crap for it, but you have to find a way to carve out your own little place on Earth, and either shut them up or shut them out. And though it's never easy, it always helps to have supportive friends around you who can remind you just how kick-ass of a person you are. And that's it for this episode of Romeo and that's it for the whole second season of Romeo and. Once again, I want to thank you all for joining me in this very special project, and I hope you're all back again next year in February when we kick off season 3. Lots of exciting things coming down the pike, so make sure you hop on Facebook and hop on Twitter and look me up. Like Romeo and Street Saint on Facebook, and follow @Romeo_and and @Street_Saint on Twitter so you can get updates when the new episodes are published. But more importantly, subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcast listening software you're using, and leave us ratings. By sending in all your feedback, I can go back and make sure I'm putting out the content you like to hear. Plus, it makes it much easier for other people to find us and listen in as well. But that's all, folks. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and I hope you have a fantastic new year. And for the last time in 2015, I am Street Saint, and I'll see you all next year.